Okay, just take a second and think back, maybe 10 years ago. Could you have pictured this? Like almost every single business meeting happening over video?
Right. It's amazing.
Or, using emojis, even GIFs,
Yeah.
in professional emails, and nobody bats an eye?
Things change so fast. It's wild.
It really is. Well, welcome everyone to the Deep Dive. Our mission, as always, is simple. Cut through all that noise, that information overload, and give you the real nuggets, the important stuff, so you can actually feel well informed.
And today, yeah, we're diving deep. We're looking at the future of business communication. You hear it all the time, right? The robots are coming. But honestly, in this context, they're really here to help. This deep dive is all about future-proofing that communication superpower you have, making sure your skills stay sharp, totally relevant, doesn't matter how many AIs end up joining your team meetings.
Exactly. And we've got, I think, a really insightful journey mapped out for you today. Five key areas we're going to hit. First, the big one, generative AI and automation, what's really going on there. Then we'll look at anticipating those shifts in how we communicate, the norms.
Crucial.
Then emotional intelligence, why that's becoming even more vital.
Absolute.
After that, committing to continuous learning, you can't just stand still. And finally, we'll actually help you build your own personal plan to improve.
And look, this isn't just, theory for some distant future. These are the skills you genuinely need now. They're essential if you want to thrive in this, well, constantly changing professional world we're all in.
Okay, let's kick things off then. Section one, generative AI and automation in business communication. Now, when we say generative AI, I think a lot of people maybe picture chatbots or, autocomplete on their phone.
Sure, the basics.
But what's the really surprising way these tools are changing things? Like, beyond just making us faster, what's the deeper shift?
That's a great question. Because the real insight here, it isn't just about speed or, making things clearer, though it does that too. It's really about how AI fundamentally recalibrates where we put our communication effort.
Okay, recalibrates effort. How so?
Well, think about the cognitive load, right? The mental energy AI takes off your plate. It frees up your bandwidth. So instead of focusing purely on the mechanic, what word goes where you can focus on the deeper, human strategy?
Like the why behind the communication.
Precisely. How you connect, how you influence, how you actually build relationships. That's the transformative shift. So yes, they boost efficiency, clarity, even creativity. They help you write better stuff faster, automate the boring tasks, personalize messages like never before, and tweak your tone and style instantly.
That reframing, freeing up bandwidth for the human stuff, that really resonates. So, okay, let's unpack that. How is AI changing business writing specifically, like right now, day to day?
Well, for writing efficiency, clarity, AI tools can whip up a first draft or seriously improve something you've already written. We're talking grammar, tone, readability boom, instantly enhanced.
Like Grammarly on steroids.
Kind of, yeah. Think about tools like Grammarly or maybe Microsoft Copilot. They're right there, refining your email as you type, suggesting clearer ways to say things, adjusting the tone, maybe even offering completely different sentences to get your point across better.
Oh man, the time I've spent agonizing over getting an email tone just right, having that instant feedback, that sounds huge.
It is huge. And it's not just about your writing. It's also changing how you connect with others. Think about personalized messaging, but at scale.
Personalized at scale. Sounds a bit like an oxymoron, maybe. A bit impersonal.
That's a really important point, actually. And the key is you don't let the AI take over completely. It's your co-pilot, right?
Yeah.
Not the autopilot.
Okay.
You provide the core message, the human intent, the nuance, the context of the relationship. The AI does the heavy lifting of adapting it for different people. It's about making efficiency authentic.
Got it. Co-pilot, not autopilot. I like that.
Right. So these tools, they use pretty sophisticated language generation. They understand the context, the audience. They can quickly mock up, say, multiple versions of a proposal, each tweaked for a specific client's needs or background. That saves hours, potentially, and makes your outreach way more effective.
That's incredibly powerful for sales or client work. What about internal stuff?
Absolutely. Think about automated content creation, AI generating entire documents, maybe reports or summaries. Like, imagine after a long meeting.
Ugh, the meeting notes.
Exactly. Instead of you spending an hour trying to distill everything, AI automatically creates a detailed summary, highlights the key decisions, the action items, who's responsible for what.
Okay, that alone might be worth the price of admission. The hours I've lost to meeting notes, that frees you up for actual strategic thinking, doesn't it?
It really does. And it connects to the bigger picture, too. AI is also boosting business presentations in some really interesting ways.
How so? Beyond just spell checking slides.
Oh, way beyond. Think about dynamic presentation design. AI can take your content and automatically generate visually engaging slide designs. Makes things look sharp, professional, much more compelling than just bullet points. You can basically turn text into decent looking visuals almost instantly.
Okay, that's handy.
But here's where it gets really transformative. Real-time audience engagement.
During the presentation itself.
Yes. AI can use machine learning, analyze subtle cues, maybe detect patterns in engagement. It could flag moments where the energy seems to dip or people are maybe losing focus.
Whoa, like a little alert saying, wake them up.
Sort of. It could gently alert you, you know, in real time. Hey, maybe pick up the pace here, or this point might need more explanation, or adjust your style a bit. Helps you re-engage them right then and there.
That's kind of amazing. And slightly terrifying.
Ah, yeah, it's powerful. And then you've got virtual assistants and speech enhancement tools. AI-driven coaches, basically. They analyze your speech patterns in real time.
Giving you feedback while you talk.
Exactly. Gentle coaching on your pace. Maybe you're talking too fast. Or clarity. Hey, that point was a bit muddy. Or even your tone. It's like having this invisible guide helping you connect better with your audience.
Okay, that is definitely a game changer for presenters. Yeah. So with all this, this power, what are the practical tips? How do people actually leverage this stuff effectively without getting overwhelmed or, you know, messing it up?
Good question. First, choose the right tools for you. What do you actually need help with? Writing, design, getting feedback. Figure that out. Then experiment. Try a few different AI tools. See what fits your workflow.
Don't just jump on the first shiny new toy.
Right. Second, and this is critical, maintain the human touch. Use AI to enhance your work, not replace your judgment or your unique voice. Always, always edit and refine what the AI gives you. Make it sound like you. Keep it authentic.
So it's an assistant, not a replacement.
Precisely. And third, just commit to learning. This stuff is changing constantly. So keep exploring new tools, new capabilities. Stay curious. Stay agile.
Okay, let's try to picture this all working together. Give us a scenario. Say, I've got a really important business presentation coming up. How does AI help me through that whole process?
Okay, picture this. First, AI helps you brainstorm and generate an initial draft based on your key messages and who you're talking to.
Right, gets me started.
Then it helps you personalize that core message, adapting the examples, the language, maybe even the data points for that specific audience's background and interests.
You're making it more relevant for them.
Exactly. Then the AI takes your maybe rough content, and automatically creates visually appealing slides. Saves you hours of fiddling with design templates during the actual presentation. You might have that real-time AI coach subtly prompting you, maybe slow down here, clarify this point, check for understanding. It's helping you connect and keep them engaged.
Wow.
And afterwards, for follow-up, AI can quickly draft personalized thank you notes or summaries for attendees, reinforcing the key takeaways clearly and efficiently. It touches the whole life cycle.
That paints a really clear picture of how integrated this can become.
Okay, so that's the tech side. But beyond the tools, what about just how we talk to each other? The norms, the expectations, how are those changing day to day? I mean, again, think back a decade. Video calls, emojis, that was just the start, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And the really critical thing here is why it matters to anticipate these changes. You know, the best communicators, they don't just react when things change. They see it coming. They anticipate the trends.
So you can stay ahead of the curve.
Exactly. It lets you stay agile, adaptive. You can pick up new tools, new methods much faster. You stay relevant. You stay influential, even as expectations shift all around you. And honestly, it just minimizes disruption. You can keep communicating clearly, even as the channels and styles evolve.
Makes total sense. So what are these big shifts? What do we absolutely need to be ready for? You mentioned five key ones. Right. Okay. First, accelerated digital integration. Virtual interactions, they're not just common anymore. They're becoming the absolute default, the norm. We'll see more AI-driven tools baked in, and even things like VR and AR meetings becoming, well, maybe not every day yet, but standard for certain things.
VR meetings, really?
Yeah, for immersive collaboration, training, maybe virtual site visits. It means communication channels, email, chat, video, VR. They're all going to blend much more fluidly.
So we're not just hopping on a Zoom call. We might be stepping into a virtual project room or flipping between Slack, email, and a quick video huddle without even thinking about it. That's quite a shift.
It is. Second shift. Informality and personalization.
Hmm.
Professional communication. It's getting way more informal, more personalized, more authentic.
We kind of touched on this with AI, but this is broader.
Much broader. It's the continued rise of, informal language, using emojis, GIFs, even humor appropriately. There's a bigger emphasis on just being human, making real connections. Think about your future emails, probably more informal greetings, maybe emojis to show tone, casual but still respectful language. It's about being approachable.
Yeah, I definitely see that trend. Makes things feel less stiff, maybe.
Exactly. Third shift, growing importance of visual and interactive communication. Forget dense reports nobody reads. Visual and interactive content, that's becoming dominant.
So more charts, less text.
More charts, more videos, more interactive dashboards. Presentations are becoming less about static slides and more like interactive storytelling, using animations, short videos.
Mm.
Instead of that 50-page report, maybe you create a concise video summary or an interactive dashboard people can explore, or really sharp infographic. Get the point across quickly, engagingly. Okay, fourth shift, heightened expectations for transparency and real-time communication. People expect answers, and they expect them now. Audiences, whether they're clients or colleagues, they demand more transparency, more authenticity, and, pretty much immediate responses.
The tyranny of the instant message.
Well, you could say that. It means more demand for openness, constant updates. Tools like Slack, Teams, they're just going to become even more central. Your future team will likely expect quick answers on chat and just continuous visibility into what's happening with projects. And finally, the fifth shift, increased cultural and generational diversity. Our workplaces are more global, more multi-generational than ever before, and that trend is only accelerating.
Which means a one-size-fits-all communication style just won't cut it.
Not at all. It means cultural awareness is non-negotiable. Using inclusive language is baseline. And you've got to be able to adapt your communication style for, wildly different generational expectations sometimes. Think about adjusting between maybe a very formal, detailed email for an older stakeholder and then switching to rapid-fire, informal chat with younger team members.
Yeah.
You need that flexibility, that inclusivity baked in.
Okay, those are definitely five significant shifts to grapple with. How do we actually prepare? What are the practical steps?
Good question. Practically. First, stay informed and curious. Keep reading, keep listening, follow the trends, actively experiment with new tools and platforms as they pop up.
Don't wait until you're forced to use them.
Exactly. No. Second, cultivate digital agility. Be proactive about learning new communication tech. Don't be afraid of it. Third, embrace that authenticity and informality we talked about. Be professional, yes, but also approachable, personable. Yeah. Let your humanity show. Fourth, strengthen your visual communication skills. Get comfortable creating visuals, telling stories with images or short videos. And finally, prioritize inclusivity and cultural awareness. Continuously work on your cultural competence. Learn about different communication styles. Practice using inclusive language consistently.
Let's try to make that concrete again. Imagine someone really nailing this in, say, 5 years. What does their day-to-day communication look like? Paint that picture.
Okay, so this person, they're regularly using AI tools, maybe for drafting emails or summarizing notes. They're comfortable joining interactive VR meetings for certain types of collaboration. They switch seamlessly between text, voice, video channels, depending on the need.
Fluid.
Very fluid. Their messages. They have an approachable, informal tone when appropriate, maybe using humor or emojis effectively to build rapport. They're not sending massive reports. Instead, they're creating engaging short videos or infographics or interactive dashboards to share key information.
Getting the message across efficiently.
Right. And they're responsive. They provide quick updates via chat. They're transparent about progress. And crucially, they adapt their style skillfully. They know how to communicate effectively, whether they're talking to someone from a different culture, a different generation, or just someone with a different preferred style. They balance formality and informality naturally. That's what future-proof communication looks like in action.
Okay, that's a great vision. Now let's pivot. Let's talk about something maybe less tangible than tech, but potentially even more critical. Emotional intelligence.
Yes. Hugely important.
So picture this. You've got two colleagues. Equally smart, equally experienced, technically brilliant. But one of them is amazing to work with, great collaborator, smooths over conflicts, inspires the team. The other struggles, misreads people, causes friction, communication breakdowns happen. What's the real difference maker there?
The difference almost certainly is emotional intelligence, EI. And look, in the future of business communication, EI isn't just a nice-to-have soft skill. It's going to be, I think, the hard currency of human connection. of effective collaboration, especially as algorithms handle more tasks.
So as tech takes over routine stuff, the human skills become more valuable.
Precisely. Your ability to navigate emotions, your own and others, to build real relationships, to communicate with empathy, that becomes paramount. AI fundamentally is about recognizing and managing your own emotions, understanding and empathizing with others, and then using that awareness to communicate effectively, especially when things get tricky or emotional.
And the payoff?
The payoff is huge. High AI lets you build much stronger relationships, more trust. You can navigate conflicts constructively, communicate more clearly, more empathetically, and you're much better positioned to inspire and influence people in a positive way.
Okay, clearly indispensable. You mentioned AI involves a few different components. What are the key pillars we need to understand?
Yeah, generally it's broken down into four key elements. First is self-awareness. That's really understanding your own emotions, your strengths, your weaknesses, your triggers, and critically, how all that impacts how you communicate and how others perceive you.
Knowing yourself.
Exactly. Second is self-management. This is about controlling or redirecting those disruptive emotional impulses. It's about managing your responses effectively, staying composed, especially under stress or when facing conflict.
Keeping your cool, basically.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Thoughtfully. Third is social awareness, which is often just called empathy. This is the ability to recognize and understand the emotions and perspectives of other people, to genuinely put yourself in their shoes and see things from their viewpoint.
Feeling with people, not just for them.
Well put. And finally, fourth is relationship management. This is where it all comes together. It's using your awareness of your own emotions and others' emotions to build strong rapport, to communicate clearly and persuasively, to handle conflicts effectively, and ultimately to build and maintain strong collaborative relationships.
Okay, that framework makes a lot of sense. Self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship management. How do we actually get better at these? What are the practical steps to strengthen each pillar?
Great question. Let's take them one by one. To strengthen self-awareness, you need to practice reflection. Regularly take a moment to notice your emotions and your reactions. Why did I feel that way? What triggered it? Seeking feedback from trusted colleagues can also be incredibly insightful. How did I come across in that meeting? Some people even find keeping an emotional journal helpful for tracking patterns.
So like after a stressful meeting, maybe just take 5 minutes to think, okay, what was I feeling? Why?
Yeah. Why did that comment push my buttons?
Yeah.
What can I learn from that reaction? How could I maybe respond differently next time? That kind of internal dialogue.
Okay. What about self-management? Controlling those reactions.
For self-management, practice stress reduction techniques that work for you. Deep breathing is a classic for a reason. Mindfulness, taking short breaks. Identify your specific emotional triggers, what situations or types of comments reliably set you off, and then plan ahead. Think about how you want to respond when those triggers inevitably pop up. Focus on solutions, not just reacting.
So if I know that, say, public criticism makes me defensive.
Right. You anticipate it, and when it happens, you consciously pause, take that slow, deliberate breath before you respond. Then aim to calmly clarify your perspective or ask questions rather than just jumping into defensive mode.
Makes sense. Easier said than done sometimes, but makes sense. How about social awareness? Empathy.
Deepening empathy really starts with listening. Like really listening. Actively, attentively, not just waiting for your turn to talk. Pay close attention to nonverbal cues too. Body language, tone of voice, facial expressions. They often tell you more than words. And consciously practice perspective taking. Try to genuinely imagine the situation from the other person's point of view.
So if a colleague seems frustrated, instead of just ignoring it or getting annoyed,
you lean in gently. Maybe say something like, hey, it seems like something might be bothering you. Is everything okay? Want to talk about it? Just showing that you've noticed and you care can build immense trust.
Yeah, that acknowledgement can make a huge difference. Okay, last one. Relationship management. Bringing it all together.
Right. Building strong relationship management skills involves several things. Make an active effort to communicate appreciation and give positive recognition. It goes a long way. When conflicts arise, address them directly, but do it sensitively, focusing on finding solutions, not placing blame. And critically, learn to adapt your communication style to connect better with others' emotional states or preferences.
So if there's tension brewing in the team,
don't let it fester. Proactively initiate a conversation. Maybe say something like, okay, I sense some friction here. Let's talk through this issue together and figure out a solution that works for everyone. I really want to make sure we're all aligned and feeling good about the path forward. That focus on mutual understanding is key.
Let's put AI into action again. Imagine a really difficult team meeting. Maybe disagreeing about strategy, tensions are high. How would someone with strong EI navigate that?
Okay, so in that tense meeting, first their self-awareness kicks in. They recognize their own feelings bubbling up, maybe frustration, maybe defensiveness, and they understand why this particular topic is hitting a nerve for them.
Right, they notice it internally.
Then self-management. They consciously pause, maybe take a quiet breath. Instead of reacting emotionally or defensively, they choose a more composed, thoughtful, solution-focused response. They manage their own state first.
Okay.
Next, social awareness, empathy. They're scanning the room, noticing the nonverbal cues from others. They see a colleague looks uncomfortable. Maybe another seems stressed or shut down. Huh? They register that. They might even verbally acknowledge it. I sense this is a challenging point for some of us. Let's make sure we address everyone's concerns openly and honestly. They validate the other's feelings.
Showing they understand it's tough.
Exactly. And finally, relationship management. They steer the conversation constructively. They address the conflict directly but compassionately. They might say, okay, we have different views here. Let's focus on the shared goal and find some common ground. They emphasize mutual understanding, collaborative problem solving. They keep the team cohesive even through disagreement. That whole sequence, managing self, understanding others, guiding the interaction that's high EI, strengthening trust and collaboration right when it's needed most.
That really illustrates how powerful it can be. Okay, moving on. It's pretty clear that communication isn't a skill you just learn once and you're done, right?
Absolutely not.
Imagine someone who was a brilliant communicator back in, I don't know, the 90s, mastered the formal memo, the perfect phone call etiquette, but if they never adapted...
They'd struggle today. Big time.
Right. Their style would feel outdated. Maybe overly formal emails, total confusion with instant messaging or collaborative docs. It would really hinder their effectiveness. So what does this reality mean for all of us trying to stay relevant?
Well, the deeper implication here is stark. Continuous learning and communication isn't just a nice to do. It's absolutely critical. It's a necessity.
Why so critical?
Because the norms, the technologies, the expectations... they're evolving faster than ever before. If you're not actively updating your skills, you will fall behind. Continuous learning ensures you stay relevant, you stay effective across all these changing contexts. It lets you pick up new tools and methods quickly without feeling lost. It helps you remain influential, respected, and honestly, it helps you avoid that scary feeling of skill stagnation, or worse, becoming professionally obsolete in how you connect and collaborate.
That's a powerful wake-up call. So, okay, we know we need to keep learning. What are the most practical, actionable ways to actually do that? How do we make continuous communication learning a reality?
Great question. There are several key strategies. First, and maybe simplest, cultivate curiosity and stay informed. Make it a habit. Regularly read articles, blogs, maybe books about communication trends. Follow people you respect in the field on LinkedIn or other platforms. Subscribe to relevant newsletters or, hey, listen to deep dives like this one.
Huh. Good plug.
You know, but seriously, even just spending 10 or 15 minutes a week deliberately reading something about communication can keep you surprisingly current.
Okay, manageable. What else?
Second, engage regularly in skill development. Be intentional about it. Invest time, maybe even a little money, in structured learning. That could be online courses, webinars, workshops. Identify specific areas where you want to improve compliv. Maybe it's public speaking, maybe persuasive writing, maybe cross-cultural communication.
So if I know my presentations are a bit dry?
Right. Then maybe you sign up for a short online course on storytelling for business. Or you join a local Toastmasters club. Or even just a focused workshop. And then, this is key, you immediately try to apply what you learn in your very next presentation.
Ah, that immediately apply part seems crucial. Not just learning theory, but putting it into practice.
Exactly. It's about integration, not just consumption. Which leads to the third strategy. Consistently seek and implement feedback. You can't improve in a vacuum. Actively ask for specific feedback from people you trust, peers, your manager, maybe even direct reports.
Not just, how did I do?
No, much more specific. Like, how effective was my main message in that presentation? Yeah. Or was my tone clear in that email? Or what's one thing I could have done differently to make that meeting more productive?
Yeah.
Reflect honestly on the feedback you get, even if it stings a little, and then consciously try to integrate the useful bits into how you communicate next time.
Okay, feedback loops. Got it.
Fourth, leverage emerging technologies and AI tools. Don't shy away from the tech we talked about earlier. Actively engage with it. Experiment with those AI writing assistants, Grammarly, ChatGPT, Copilot, whatever. Use them to help you refine your clarity or tone. Get familiar with new collaboration platforms as they roll out. Play around with them.
Be an early adopter, or at least an early experimenter.
Exactly. Fifth strategy, participate in mentoring and collaborative networks. Find experienced mentors or coaches who can offer guidance specifically on communication. Collaborate frequently with colleagues who have different styles. You can learn a ton just by observing and working alongside others. And join professional groups, online communities, maybe on LinkedIn, focused on communication. Share what you know. Learn from others.
Building that network of learning.
Precisely. And finally, sixth, regularly assess and adjust your communication approach. Schedule time for self-reflection. Maybe once a quarter or twice a year, deliberately sit down and review how things are going. How effective have my communications been lately? Where have I improved? Where are there still opportunities for growth? Based on that assessment, adjust your personal communication goals and your development plan. Keep it a living document.
Okay, let's visualize this again. Someone who's truly committed to continuous communication learning in a future-focused workplace. What does that look like day to day, week to week?
All right. So this person, they're consistently thriving. They're not just doing their job. They're actively learning how to do the communication part better. They regularly read articles or maybe listen to podcasts about new techniques, new tech. They experiment.
Okay.
They periodically participate in workshops or online courses, maybe focusing on a specific skill like virtual facilitation or data storytelling. And importantly, they take what they learn and consciously try it out in their work right away.
Applying it immediately.
Yes. They also routinely ask for feedback. After a big project or presentation, they'll check in with key colleagues. Hey, what worked well there? What could I improve for next time? And they actually listen and adjust.
Closing the loop.
Right. They're comfortable using AI tools. Maybe an assistant helps draft routine emails. Or they use presentation software that offers design suggestions. They're not afraid of the tech. They leverage it.
Mm-hmm.
They're also connected. They might have a mentor they chat with occasionally about communication challenges, or they're active in a professional network online, sharing insights, asking questions.
Learning with others.
And crucially, they have that regular check-in with themselves, that quarterly or biannual self-assessment. They look at their goals, track their progress, identify new areas to focus on. It's this ongoing cycle of learning, applying, getting feedback, and refining. They're truly a lifelong learner when it comes to communication.
That really paints a picture of proactive development. Okay, so let's bring this home. Think about communication as like your professional superpower.
Right.
I like that analogy.
But even superheroes, you know, they regularly upgrade their suits, their gadgets, their abilities. So why wouldn't you do the same for your communication skills? We've explored all these crucial aspects, AI, changing norms, EI, continuous learning. Now it's time to get really practical. It's time to talk about creating your own personalized communication improvement plan.
Yes, this is absolutely where the rubber meets the road. Having a personalized plan isn't just busy work. It's what ensures you're proactively identifying, developing, and then really honing the communication skills that are most relevant to your specific situation, your career goals. So it's not just generic advice, it's tailored.
Exactly. It helps you pinpoint exactly where you need to focus. It keeps you motivated because you can see the steps. It lets you track your progress, which feels good. And it helps you adapt your approach as, inevitably, communication continues to evolve. It's basically your strategic blueprint for mastering communication in your world.
Okay, I'm sold. How do we build this blueprint? Let's walk through it step by step. Step one.
Step one. Assess your current communication skills. And you got to be honest here.
Yeah.
Brutally honest, maybe.
No sugarcoating.
Nope. Make a list of specific communication skills relevant to your role. Things like writing clarity, public speaking confidence, active listening, giving feedback, maybe handling difficult conversations, your emotional intelligence cues.
Okay, list the skills. Then what?
Then rate yourself. Maybe on a simple scale, like 1 to 5. Where are you genuinely strong? Where are the areas that, you know, could use some work? Add some notes. Why did you give yourself that rating? Be specific. For instance, maybe you rate clear writing a 4 out of 5, but your note says need to be more concise, sometimes ramble. Or maybe public speaking is a 3, with a note like feel nervous, need more polish and structure.
Got it. Honest self-assessment first. What's step two?
Step two, identify your communication goals. Based on that assessment and thinking about your career aspirations, what do you want to achieve? Prioritize. Pick 1 or 2 specific, realistic goals to focus on first. Don't try to boil the ocean.
Specific and realistic.
Yes. Make them clear. What does success actually look like? For example, a goal might be, improve my public speaking so I can confidently deliver engaging team presentations within the next 6 months. Or maybe, enhance my emotional intelligence skills so I can handle difficult conversations with clients more effectively and calmly by the end of the year.
Okay, clear goals tied to outcomes. Step three.
Step three. Choose clear, actionable strategies for improvement. This is the how. For each goal, define the specific realistic actions you're actually going to take.
Like the actual tasks.
Exactly. So if your goal is public speaking, your strategies might be join the local Toastmasters Club and attend monthly meetings, or enroll in that online public speaking course by X date, or practice my presentation delivery twice before the actual event.
Makes sense. What about for EI?
For emotional intelligence, strategies could be read Dr. So-and-so's book on EI by end of August, or practice a 5-minute mindfulness exercise daily to improve self-awareness, or proactively ask a trusted colleague for feedback on my emotional responses after challenging meetings.
Okay, and for writing?
For writing clarity, maybe it's use an AI writing assistant like Grammarly Premium on all important emails, or attend the company's upcoming workshop on business writing, or ask my mentor to review one major document draft per month and give feedback.
Yeah.
The key is concrete actions.
Concrete actions, got it. Step four.
Step four, set timelines and milestones. Goals and strategies are great, but without deadlines, they tend to drift. So outline a realistic timeline. Put start dates, target completion dates for your strategies, and importantly, identify some milestones along the way so you can track your progress and celebrate small wins.
Breaking it down.
Exactly. So for that public speaking goal, a milestone might be deliver my first Toastmasters icebreaker speech by July 15th. For the EI goal, maybe successfully navigate one difficult client conversation using new techniques by September 30th. Milestones keep you moving forward.
Okay, timeline and milestones. That brings us to step five.
Step five, regularly evaluate and adapt your plan. This isn't a one-and-done exercise. Continuous growth means continuously reviewing and refining your plan. Schedule regular check-ins with yourself, maybe quarterly, maybe every 6 months.
Look back at the plan.
Yeah. How am I doing against my timeline? Are these strategies actually working? What results am I seeing? Solicit fresh feedback from others too. And based on all that, be willing to adjust. Maybe one strategy isn't clicking, swap it out for something else. Maybe you've mastered one goal, time to set a new one. Keep the plan dynamic and effective.
So assess, set goals, choose strategies, set timelines, and then evaluate and adapt. That's the loop.
That's the loop for continuous communication improvement.
Okay, one last time. Let's paint that picture. Someone puts this plan into action. Let's say they want to improve public speaking and emotional intelligence. What does that look like for them?
Okay, so their self-assessment highlighted nerves during presentations and maybe reacting too quickly in disagreements. Those are the areas.
Right.
Their goals are clear. Deliver engaging presentations confidently by year end and respond more calmly and constructively during team debates within 3 months.
Uh-huh.
Their strategies include joining Toastmasters, maybe enrolling in a specific online presentation skills course, reading that EI book we mentioned, and consciously practicing the pause and breathe technique before responding in heated discussions.
Actionable steps.
Their timeline has them joining Toastmasters next month, aiming to give their first formal speech by July, finishing the EI book by August, and seeing noticeable improvement in their meeting responses by September. Those are their milestones.
Mm-hmm.
And crucially, every quarter, they block out an hour. They evaluate. They review their Toastmasters feedback, reflect on recent meetings. Did I pause? Did it help? They maybe ask a peer, have you noticed a difference? They celebrate the progress. Maybe they nailed that presentation.
Uh-huh.
And perhaps they decide to add practicing impromptu speaking to their Toastmasters routine. They're actively managing their growth. That's the plan in action.
That really makes it feel achievable. Wow, what an exciting and maybe slightly daunting frontier we've explored today, the whole future of business communication. Congratulations to you, our listeners, for diving in deep with us.
Yeah, absolutely. We've covered some really critical ground, haven't we? We looked at leveraging generative AI and automation, not just for efficiency, but for real impact.
Right.
We talked about anticipating those big shifts in communication norms, more digital, more informal, visual, transparent, and definitely more inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
We spent time on the non-negotiable importance of enhancing emotional intelligence, keeping things human-centered.
Crucial.
We really emphasized that commitment to continuous learning and skill development. You just can't stand still.
Never stop learning.
And finally, yeah, we walk through how to create and, importantly, follow through on your own personalized communication improvement plan.
So let's just underline it one last time. Why does all this matter so much?
Because in this incredibly fast-changing professional world, future-proofing your communication skills is what ensures your lasting relevance. It ensures your influence, your success. It's what helps you stay adaptable, proactive, and genuinely ready for whatever challenges and opportunities are coming next.
Well said. So as you, our listener, reflect on everything we've unpacked today, maybe ask yourself, which of these five big areas, AI, changing norms, EI, continuous learning, or that personal plan, which one resonates most strongly with your immediate communication challenges, or maybe your aspirations?
Yeah, that's a great reflection question.
And then think about this. What's one small, concrete action you can take, maybe even this week, to start that journey or to push it further? Just one small step towards mastering future-proof communication. Your future awaits.